South Korea's defense minister said today that his country is prepared for what he described as the worst-case scenario in the conflict with North Korea. He said if the North's nuclear problem can't be resolved peacefully, then war on the Korean Peninsula will be unavoidable. But U.S. Assistant Secretary of State James Kelly struck a different tone. He told reporters in Beijing today that resolving the crisis through communication will be a very slow process. Tension is high on the Korean Peninsula. It is most acute along the demilitarized zone that separates the two Koreas, a place former President Clinton once described as the scariest place on Earth. NPR's Eric Weiner reports from the DMZ.
You enter the DMZ on a paved road in a comfortable bus. Nothing scary about that. There are also friendly driving tips posted alongside the road. But look more closely. These tips say things like, be sure to use your seatbelt and your Kevlar vest, a blunt reminder that you've just entered the Cold War's last hotspot. After 50 years, a kind of institutionalized tension has set in here. You can see it in the way the North Korean soldiers scowl, or the way the South Korean soldiers stand frozen in a menacing Taekwondo pose. Each side tries to intimidate the other any way they can. Sergeant Brian Wilson, one of about 200 U.S. soldiers assigned to the DMZ, points out a building that the North Koreans use to make their point.
Usually when their troops are in there, they'll pull back the curtains, they'll wave, they'll make gestures, sometimes they'll flip you off, they'll make gestures like they're going to slice your throat. And because of their antics, we've given that building a nickname. We call it the Monkey House.
Even the smallest, most pedestrian matter can create friction. Both sides recently spent weeks haggling over the type of chairs used in a conference room. These disputes all take place in the so-called Peace Village of Panmunjom. This is where, in 1953, officials signed an armistice ending the Korean War. Stephen Ortwig, a U.S. military spokesman, says not much has changed.
It's a strange place. It's, you know, welcome to Panmunjom, now set your watch back 20 years. Or 50 years, yes, because it has not changed. You look at the styles of the buildings, the march, the North Korean guards when they came down, the Soviet-style march that has a whole over from the Kim Il-sung era. And like I say, nothing has changed for them.
Actually, one thing has changed. In 1953, there were no tourists. Today, about 150,000 visit the DMZ each year. Most are from Japan. They come here to experience for themselves a tension so real, you swear you can smell it. Masayuki Kawoki is a Japanese schoolteacher.
I was very much shocked to know that this kind of tense situation here. I don't want to visit this kind of place so frequently.
There's plenty for a tourist here to do. There's the famous Bridge of No Return, once used for prisoner exchanges, a conference room still used today that straddles the border. Half the room is in North Korea, the other half in South Korea. And, of course, there's the requisite DMZ gift shop, where you can buy DMZ baseball hats and pieces of DMZ barbed wire, tastefully mounted on wooden plaques. All of this makes you feel as if you've entered some sort of Cold War theme park. Tourists have been known to ask the soldiers if they use real bullets in their guns. Lieutenant Colonel Matt Margota says, of course they do. This is no Disneyland.
You know, the North Koreans have a very large military. Majority of that army is poised in close proximity to the DMZ. And they have, you know, a regime that has voiced its open hostility towards the United States and our presence here.
Margota says that in the past week, North Korea has stepped up patrols along the DMZ and occupied a guard tower that's been vacant for years. Last month, they brought two machine guns into the DMZ, a violation of the armistice. He describes the North Korean behavior as unusual but not alarming.
In the past, when there have been increased tensions, they have used small violations of the armistice agreement to try to create a provocation or a response from the United Nations or the United States.
The U.S. or the U.N., he says, will not respond to these provocations. They will simply remain on alert, just as they have for the past 50 years. Eric Weiner, NPR News, on the Korean Demilitarized Zone.